Suicide Squad Mystery in the House. Hoy estamos en Reactor Post porque vamos a estar hablando con las personas que tuvieron que ver con la creación de Chona 2, científicos tecnológicos que se encargaron de la animación de La Puerca Asesina. Y entonces va a ser una entrevista en español y en inglés. Since one of the animators who was working on the production speaks in English, we're going to be doing a little bit of back and forth between Spanish and English. Also, we're going to do a little bit of discussion of the movies. Vamos a estar discutiendo un poco la película. Así que vamos a ver algunas escenas de la película y nos van a estar explicando cómo fue el proceso de animar dicha escena. Así que, con esto dicho, vamos con la entrevista.
Bueno, yo soy Edgardo Lebrón, yo fui el colorista de la película.
Carlos Miranda, soy el VFX compositor.
Alfredo Colón, yo soy el coordinador de efectos visuales.
Keith Sally, animator, Chona creator, and VFX, and well, everything CG.
Yo fui en principio el que empezó la película en sí, junto con el DP y el director, desarrollando el look de la película. En principio de la película queríamos que fuera más o menos que luciera como la película de los 80, estas películas de acción, terror y eso. Y buscamos mucho ese tipo de textura en principio. Obviamente cuando empezamos la película, yo le dije, esto es lo que estamos viendo, pero una vez vengan las animaciones tenemos que regresar a la película y adaptarnos a las animaciones. No que las animaciones se adaptaran al look que estábamos haciendo, porque es computadora y tenemos que básicamente las dos cosas mezclaran bien durante la película.
Bueno, pues mi trabajo realmente está empezando desde el 2017, desde después de María, que empezamos a ver los locations, discutir con el director dónde van a estar filmando a Chona, dónde va a estar, qué es lo que va a estar pasando. Así nos explican a nosotros qué es lo que va a suceder y así nosotros le podemos decir a ellos, mira, debes grabarlo de esta manera, esto es lo mejor para este tiro, esto no te ayuda, y desde ahí comienza.
Much of with Chona, it started from the very beginning with the actual design of Chona. Sunshine gave me one image that sort of was in the ballpark of what he was thinking of. And I presented to him a bunch of references using different animals, different breeds of pig, different beef, but different oxen and all sorts of stuff that would be sort of representative of what Chona could be. And basically designing an amalgamation of what in fact I had to later on model and create from literally from scratch. And from there, it's basically on my end, it was pretty much the entire department of the CG creation kind of being held by one guy. And so everything from texturing, everything from modeling, everything from rigging, everything from animating, the whole nine yards, I practically had to take care of before my renders being handed off to the rest of the crew in order for them to sweeten basically what was rendered out and created. So once the animations were done, whether it was some tracking that needed to get involved with the shots and stuff, then it would go off to Carlos, who would then take the footage and better integrate what was there and sometimes add elements to the shots if it needed extra fire, extra smoke, everything that could be handled on the compositing and in additional VFX. Then later off being handled to the colorist, Edgar, and then further being sweetened. But the gathering of the frames and the wrangling being handled by Alfredo and even with getting the plates and stuff from Leah. And so, you know, we had a lot, you know, it's the same workload as any other production, as any other film, but literally it being handled by just a handful a handful of guys, you know, and girls, you know. And so, you know, you probably heard of this before in other films, And like, you know, how can they do this? Well, basically, you have to have many hats. You have to do the job of many people. That's usually not even just the job of many people, but many departments. So your skill set has to be through the roof, as well as your endurance for doing all of this stuff. And it takes a toll. It really, like, I know a lot of people maybe thinking, oh, you know, this is the new direction, is, oh, you know, it's to reduce the staff and what. No. No. You know, these films take a lot out of you, and most people don't realize just how much. And I've gotten sick several times in this production, just to get the job done. But again, it's like you're doing your best in each area, and you know, you're just trying to deliver and deliver on time. And you know, it's basically pretty much how it boils down. It's just, you know, just delivering shots, you know, and it's not an easy deal.
Básicamente, una vez producción nos da a nosotros un corte de la película, pues identificar todo el trabajo que hay que hacer, consultar con el equipo entero para tener una idea de cuánto tiempo podría tomar, pues, de encargarme entonces de que todos estos detalles de cada uno de los procesos pues se lleve a cabo.
Aquí dándole playback a esta secuencia, como ves, la cueva, la...
Yeah.
A él le cae encima la sustancia verde que bota ella. Llamémosla moco, lo que sea. Pero uno de los retos cuando uno hace este tipo de trabajo es que eso es video en vivo, físicamente le está cayendo. Y una de las cosas que uno tiene que hacer es igualarlo a la animación, porque bueno, el trabajo que hizo aquí, él tuvo que recrear esto. Y parte del trabajo es tratar de igualarlo todo, que se siente igual. Como ves, ahí tiene un tono más azul, sin ningún tipo de corrección de color, versus esto, que es más verde amarillento. Y esto es parte de lo que hacemos, tratar de reunirnos, integrarlo y discutir qué queremos en cada secuencia.
Sí, en realidad esa es una de las escenas para mí más impresionantes por, pues, el detalle, el lujo de detalle. Realmente esa escena...
Y es una foto, right click, right, there is a photograph. The cave?
The cave, no. The cave,
what?
The cave is a photogrammetry grab from the cave in Louisa. That's actually where they shot this whole sequence. Town of Louisa, the cave there. And so while I was there, basically I did a photogrammetry, which basically means you take a whole bunch of photos in various angles, and then you run it through your particular software, and it will extract a 3D object based on those photos, triangulation, and it'll make a 3D object out of it. And so there was a portion of the cave that looked like it could make a great kind of den for Chona. And so once that was extracted, I had to manipulate the final geometry to extend it into an actual, like, cave hole for him to go into. And then you're basically dealing with your geometry alongside with your plates. In this particular case right here, this is actually just a matte cutout of the footage that has him going in there. But the other shots where you're seeing Chona coming in and out, that's the actual 3D geometry. And so it goes from me animating Chona going in and coming out, or whether eating the girl and going in and coming out. And then that footage gets handed off to Carlos, who then adds additional effects of like rocks and dust and everything falling down to really bring out the connection of this giant creature being in this cave and stuff. And it really, his, you know, the work that he's did with this really, 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 really works. Excellent. Gotta say, you hit the home run there, dude. Just to see the dust on the side and everything, and the little cast of light through the dust. Yeah. And a lot of it got lost in the coloring phase, but it still works so much. Carlos also added additional shakes so when Chona is stomping down, that extra kind of push where I wouldn't do that or didn't do as much in camera in 3D, but he exemplified it on his end, and it worked so much.
Pues, como ves, el de la izquierda es como es el producto final, la parte derecha es lo que como llega la animación. Y como ves los tonos, uno tiene que lograr que el metal se sienta correcto. Como ves, vas a ver las variaciones en día de los plates. Que parte del trabajo es crear la continuidad de que todo sea en el mismo momento en tiempo. Es la parte más retante cuando tenemos las cosas. Como ven, cuando se hace la animación se hace en base a cómo llegó el material. Y acá entre el composite y la reiluminación que hace Carlos en el compositing, todos tenemos que trabajar en equipo, junto con el director, que el director es al final es el que decide si seguimos ese camino.
Como Edgar estaba diciendo, esa escena, que fue la primera, que es como quien dice el conejillo de India, tomó alrededor de como 2 semanas de por lo menos establecer de cómo va a ser el color de Chona. Todo el fuego que hubo que integrar esa escena específicamente fue una de las más retantes. Y el back and forth con Edgar, el color, mira, este fuego se ve demasiado brillante, esto no se ve bien, cuando le pongo el color correction esto, se notan estos errores, entonces todas esas cosas influyen mucho a la hora del tiempo que toma uno.
Uno empieza a abandonar las cosas cuando empiezan a mejorar menos. Ejemplo, cuando ya tú llegas a un punto que el esfuerzo que haces requiere, el producto mejora un 10% o un 3%, ya es el momento de abandonarlo y seguir en otra cosa, porque en verdad no se va a notar la mejoría que le hace versus el tiempo que le dedica. En realidad, si nos preguntan a nosotros, reharíamos la película entera por nuestro gusto. Pero llega un punto en que hay que abandonarla, que hay que dejar que siga su rumbo, porque en verdad, por más que hagamos, no se va a notar el esfuerzo que le estamos dedicando.
Como bien dice Carlos, es un proceso iterativo donde, bueno, ellos como artistas pues, tienen que estar trabajando en conjunto y pues, tienen que evaluar todo el trabajo que están haciendo en el cine. Estimar tiempo siempre es difícil por eso mismo, porque no sabemos con quién nos vamos a encontrar. En el caso mío, pues yo estoy también comunicando al cliente lo que se está atendiendo, cómo se está atendiendo, dándole pues un estimado de tiempo para poder entonces presentarle el trabajo para que el cliente venga y nos apruebe el trabajo. Ya es divertido, es un trabajo que toma tiempo, no es algo que vas a ver un producto inmediato, pero pues con un equipo así, pues ver todo este proceso de desarrollo es bien interesante, bien llena poder ver ya un trabajo en su finalidad.
First and foremost, it begins with sunshine and principal photography. Going out to Hato Ray and him trying to explore what type of shots that he was looking for, and I had to be there with him. First, we were scouting locations for the longest period of time, and then when going out to Hato Ray, he had particular shots in mind, and yet the sort of how the sequence was played out, he really kind of was sort of there, and I had to, you know, we all had to try to help him go through it, because you know you can have something that you want to do but don't exactly know where it's going to flow. And so, you know, we started to work out where Chona was going to be, what was going to, you know, sort of occur, and, you know, okay, now could it work with these jets coming in, these jets attacking him, and, you know, so you kind of had to direct the cameraman where the jets are going to be and all that stuff, so you can have your base plates. And then from there, basically, you're tracking your footage. Not to mention that I have to also include aerial, going out and doing some drone shots as well for additional back plates. So there are shots that are completely CGI, and there are shots that have real world elements, just as far as the background with the CG in intermixed in it. But once we had the background plates, basically, the first thing was treating the footage, so that the tracking would work. And then, you know, integrating, you know, well, first and foremost, creating the elements. So again, it's not just Chona. A lot of those shots, like I said, was completely CGI. So I had to, you know, model the hands, model the cockpit, model the planes, model the
buildings,
model, you know, it's a ton of stuff. And even sitting here and watching it, it's just like, wow, I really don't have a life. So, you know, you do all of this work, but you do it because you have to create the shots. And the train need to be modeled. The matter of fact, the train is not only modeled on the outside, the train is modeled on the inside, down to the bolts, down to the little bolts on the bars and the screws and everything. Because again, you don't know what may come up when you have a director that may say, hey, you know, can we take the camera and put it in the train or something like that? So you try to get as much stuff as you can. And so you work out, you know, all your modeling, and then you have to do all your textures. You have to do all your shading, you have to do all your lighting, and then all your rigging, you know, your rigging for animating and everything. Then you have your particle effects and fire and smoke, and all of that. Basically, you're building the shot from scratch. And in this case, you know, it sort of was what it was, and I, you know, just had to hack at it. And but thankfully, again, having the rest of the crew to come in and basically for as far as I could go with everything that I did, it then gets handoff to these guys to just, you know, if I'm 60% there, these guys will bring it to 100%. If I'm 40% there, these guys will just laugh at me and tell me to go back to work. So you know, and there's struggles along the way with this stuff, because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of data, your computers and stuff. I mean, one thing that kind of gets overlooked is just the computing power that's needed to do all of this stuff. And a long time ago, I went back with our guys here and was like, okay, you know, this was years ago, and deciding to go with GPU rendering because it was practically new, like I'm thinking like 2013, where a couple of renderers had came out, and one of them in particular was one that I was very impressed with. And without that renderer, this might not have been possible, because a GPU render can just handle so much data and handle such large scenes. The only limitation is just the memory on board, because your scene has to load up within the GPU. But, you know, just to keep things as detailed as possible, but at the same time, gauging what you can get out of a scene, how much detail you put in, what doesn't have to have but so much detail in it, you know, and having that range. A lot of work.
Usually the frames were somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
Yeah, there's like, so in essence, you have this giant, anywhere from 20 to 40 foot at any given time, pig, and yet he has fur all over. And so, you know, in some applications, fur renders fairly okay and fast enough. in our case, and I was using basically tools that were good for my setup. Again, this wasn't a situation where I had like a team of other guys that was doing my stuff in particular. And so I had the option of using what best worked for the situation. So it's gonna be strong in some areas and weak in other areas. One of the weak areas was the render times when applying fur. Now Chona doesn't look like he has a whole bunch of fur on him, but he does. And every one of those little fibers of fur are like little shards of glass. And in rendering, calculating all the light bouncing around and all those little millions of fur fibers take up a lot of time. So at one point we were dealing with 16 minutes a frame. And then I tried other techniques to bring it down. And so you have a situation where you really kind of have to nail what you're doing so that you don't have to go back and re-render and re-render and re-render. So it was a challenge, and of course, like the way that everything goes, once the project is done, you find out there's another button that makes the renders go a whole lot faster. It's like, why didn't we see this early on? But yeah, it was a painful, joyful challenge, just producing all of this stuff, because again, it's not just the pig. You know, you got pigs, you got characters, you got
planes,
jets and planes, you got buildings collapsing, you got cars flipping, and a lot of these sequences, some of these sequences, is my fault. Because when you're sitting with a director and he's giving you leeway, Sunshine gives you leeway to add suggestions, there's areas where you see, okay, maybe this happened. Okay, you wanted the pig to come in, but how do we get rid of the pig? And so you're thinking, okay, the jets are gonna attack the pig, but what happens to the jets afterwards? It's like, how do you get rid of the pigs? I got an idea. Why don't you throw a train at them? That sounds great. So now I put my foot in my mouth, and now I got to build a train and get the guys to go out and do the principal photography for that area, take a plate or two or whatever, get the jets again and get the pilots and all this kind of other stuff. And so it adds up. It adds up.
Bueno, como dice aquí, gracias a que él sugería muchas de las partes, pues casi todas esas partes se aceptaron como parte de la película. Y pues tomó mucho más tiempo. Por lo menos acá en Reactor, pues intentamos, sea película puertorriqueña, de afuera, lo que sea, de hacer nuestro mejor trabajo. Nosotros entendemos que nunca nos limitamos con ningún cliente en ningún aspecto, hacemos lo mejor. Y pienso que esta película, en cierto sentido, hacerla de la forma que la hicimos, con todo lo complejo que lo hicimos, Era básicamente demostrarle a la gente que sí podemos hacer cosas. Sí podemos hacer cosas que compitan dentro de este tipo de género. Y base de reto era ese, quitarle el estigma que en ese tipo de películas sí, aquí hay gente que es capaz de hacerlo y hacerlo bien. Una de las cosas que necesitamos en términos de animación es personas que lo hagan. Necesitamos más talleres. Para poder desarrollar personas, necesitamos que la gente escriba más películas en este camino para desarrollar gente. Porque lamentablemente, si uno ve los créditos de cualquier película de animación fuera de Puerto Rico, hay 300 personas muchas veces y están 5 o 6 años haciendo una película. Que yo sé que es un reto para cualquier persona hacer este tipo de películas. Sonchi se arriesgó y confió en nosotros. Pero yo pienso que en verdad, pienso que el principio es hacer este tipo de películas, sea con mucho presupuesto o bajo presupuesto, aunque sea solamente 3 segundos de animación, pero que esos 3 segundos le sirvan de taller para alguien, para desarrollarlo. Es lo que yo pienso que debería pasar. Porque obviamente no, de nuestra perspectiva la vemos, todo el mundo lo ve más fácil, pero hay que entender la gente que tiene que pagar por que sean esos tipo de efectos sale caro y es mucho tiempo. Entonces, es bien difícil que una... ¿sabes? Todos hacemos una película soñando que va a ser exitosa, pero no todas lo son. Y entonces es un golpe económico que recibe el productor. Hay que entender esa perspectiva también. Y aquí pues hay mucho talento. O sea, yo he ido a universidades y hay mucho talento, hay mucha gente haciendo cosas. Necesitan oportunidades, necesitan sitios de práctica que no solamente los lleven a mirar el trabajo, los sienten en máquina a que se sientan empoderados de poder hacer cosas y que sueñen, tú sabes. Y lamentablemente en este tipo de industria pues no le damos oportunidad a la gente joven. Y yo estoy en contra de eso. Yo pienso que mientras más gente aprenda, mejor. Porque el que lleva mucho tiempo mejora y está enseñándole a alguien. Uno no es eterno. En algún punto uno tiene que salir si tienes que darle gente. Eso es lo que yo pienso que debería hacer.
Yo pienso que, añadiendo lo que dice Edgar, es que también en Puerto Rico específicamente, como que nos encajonamos en solamente hacer animaciones o hacer diseño gráfico. Y mucha gente en Puerto Rico no sabe que, o muchos chamacos no saben que esto se puede hacer aquí. Y quizás viendo este tipo de trabajo, pues dicen, mira, ¿sabes qué? Esto es una alternativa también, además de animación y lo que es diseño gráfico. Pienso igual que él, que hay que darle las oportunidades, pero también pienso que mucha gente no conoce las cosas que se pueden hacer en esta industria.
One of the more prevalent things is, I would tell students, is to first get your ideas written down. Your interest in things usually starts from an idea, or you liking a particular feel or a particular type of movie, anime or whatever it may be. And you can like something and love it really, but not understand it. And so if you want to get into doing something, especially VFX or whatever, you have to look into what it actually takes to get this type of work. Somebody can say, hey, I want to be a 2D animator, but you know, they don't like drawing. It's like, well, that doesn't work. You know, or you're not a modeler or whatever. There are areas that you can get into that you will be happy with, but just understand that this is a layered field. There's a layered process. Mm-hmm. And where do you fit within that process? You want to be skilled in really these days, you want to be skilled in a lot of things, because depending on where you go, you may be tasked, as we've all been tasked, to wear many hats at the same time. It's not a pretty thing, but at the same time, it is what it is. So yeah, it's like, get your ideas down. And when I mean getting them down, it's like, get them down on a timeline, get them down in storyboard, get them down on script, before you start getting into the tools of all of this stuff. You want to have your stories, you want to have, you know, your vision, because there's another aspect to this stuff as well, is that, yeah, you like this stuff, but do you like it because of what you're being given, or do you want to do it yourself? Meaning, do you want to get into a field where you're doing other people's work? And that's a big, big difference that you know, like, it's kind of like a rude awakening for people, that they want to get into something and then find out, oh, well, wait a minute, I'm not doing what I like to do. I'm doing doing their work. When I'm going to do my stuff? So you have, there's aspects to things that you really have to become aware of. You have guys that want to be directors, but it's like, how can you be a director without actually having work? You know, so you have a lot of guys out there, and we run into them all the time, a lot of guys that, oh, I got this idea, but I need you to do it. You don't want to start out. There's a million and one of those guys. No, if you're one of those guys, then basically get your hands dirty and do the work yourself. Know what it's like to do these components of this project that you want to create, so that you better understand what's involved with creating your concept. You know, you can't just say, oh, I want to I want to drive this. I want this car, and I got this design for this car, but you know nothing about engineering. Doesn't make sense. So you start off small and work your way up. Live your life. Your projects come from living. The tools and all of this stuff, yeah, it's fun and everything, but it all changes or whatever. This is actually what destroys your life. What makes your life, what makes your project, is what you experience in life. Then you use these tools to bring forth into a format that you reveal to everybody else. And far too many people are all into this stuff and not into the substance. So we see we're in this era of great looking films, like visually, the technology wise, everything looks fantastic, but the story is not there. The story is just, you know, terrible. And it's easy to fall into that. And so, yeah, for me, my opinion, start off with the story. Start off with coming up with brilliant ideas, even if they're not brilliant, just something that's yours, something that's original, something that's fresh and new. Stop with the, oh, I got this great idea. There's this guy, and he goes, I'm like, that's Darth Vader. Nah, it's not Darth Vader. You know, it's like, you know, be original. Bring something new to cinema, you know, or revive. There's a, even in the sense of reviving, there's a lot of stuff in the black and white era that's awesome stories, awesome stuff. Look into Twilight Zone, the original Twilight Zone series. You'll be shocked, absolutely shocked, of how good those stories were. So yeah, it's like this stuff, you know, it's nice and everything, but again, this is the stuff that kind of tears you down in the process of creating. You know, you wanna get the good stuff, and that starts out in the beginning. So there is no excuse for not getting your ideas and stuff out on paper first, working it out on paper. Some of the best studios and stuff that make the best works, they achieve it by constantly going over their scripts, constantly going over their stories, running their stories backwards, forwards, upwards, downwards, until they got something that's solid. And you know, there is a process to it, and it's work. You know, all of this stuff is work. Yes, it's something that from afar it's kind of glamorized and everything, but it is work. Say you want to explore with software, whatever, there's a ton of free software out there. Blender is actually a free open source tool that at this point is more powerful than a tool that I use to create Chona. And so many people, again, get so enamored by the tools that they forget that the tools is just there for end goal, to bring forth something.
Los futuros artistas que quisieran incursionar en el mundo de visual effects, como bien dice aquí, de tener un norte bien claro de qué les gusta hacer y practiquen. Hay muchos tutoriales en YouTube, hay muchos tutoriales en internet que pueden buscar hacer lo que sea en cualquier aplicación que ustedes consigan.
It's complicated, but you guys know your craft. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you put not only to this movie, but the other projects that you work on. And so I continue to be grateful for VFX, because most of my favorite movies have VFX. So
yeah.
Thank you so much. Gracias, muchacho. Esto ha sido la entrevista con los Avengers del VFX aquí en Puerto Rico, de Reactor Post. Así que nos veremos en otro video.